Good morning, fellow riders. Welcome to episode 9 of the Ride or Dynasty podcast. I'm JJ Wenner, filling in for our host, Michael Kloss, who is recovering from a mountain lion attack. It seems, Ryan, I'm not sure if you heard, that he attacked 3 different mountain lions. Not quite sure what he was doing attacking them, but hopefully he'll be back with us soon. And joining me, as always, is my sister from another mister, the Batman to my Robin, the Eve to my Christmas, the myth, the man, the legend, Ryan Bickerstaff. How are you feeling today, Ryan?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I just had like a 32-ounce cup of coffee, so I'm going to be wired for this episode. And we're recording an entire 12 hours earlier than we normally are, so that's kind of a bonus too.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, I'm excited, Ryan, that we're going to have a pretty good show today. It's going to be filled with a little bit of fun, excitement, just a little saison of information for your fantasy leagues.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just like every week, that's why we're the go-to source, right?
So remember, you can find us at rideordynasty.com, and we are on Twitter at rideordynasty. Give us a follow. Ask us some questions. We'd love to hear from you. So today, first up, we're going to have Ryan's Radar, where Bickerstaff is going to tell us college players that we need to watch. After that, we'll discuss aging players who you just can't seem to quit in a segment I'm calling Old Yellers. But first, let's talk about some of the latest news in the NFL. So Carson Wentz signs a 4-year, $128 million contract. The main number is $107 million is reportedly guaranteed. Ryan, what do you think this does for the Eagles?
I like this signing for the Eagles. This means that they've locked down their franchise quarterback for the next 4 years. What I don't really love about it is, can Carson Wentz stay healthy? He's proven that when he is healthy, when he is on the field, he's a top 10, possible top 5 quarterback, but can he get through 16 games?
Yeah, that's the big question with Carson Wentz. Can he stay healthy? And the Eagles are putting $107 million on the fact that he can. So, you know, let's see what happens now that they're putting this much money in the QB position. I hope that he plays well. He's a player I like.
Yeah, me too. I was a big fan of Wentz coming out of North Dakota State. I'm rooting for him to be successful. Now, this is a player that I know you have a few shares of, actually. Miami Herald's Barry Jackson writes, Devontae Parker has been the best player in camp the past 5 weeks. What do you think about this?
Well, I hope that it's true. Hopefully he has a few good games and lets me cash out on him, but I'll believe it when I see it, Ryan. Training camp news, especially in June into July, it's everybody's putting on weight. Everybody's slimming down. Both are good things. I just don't see it happening this year, but I really hope it does.
Yeah, I do too. It's something I've said on here before is you hope all these guys become Hall of Famers, right? I mean, obviously it doesn't happen, but most all of them, of course. You want to see these guys succeed. But I'll believe it when I see it out of Parker.
Yeah. So out of Minnesota comes some news that Kyle Rudolph signed a 4-year extension with the Vikings.
I'm not a very big fan of this. It kind of puts a damper on the hype that I had for Irv Smith. I really thought – yeah. I really thought that he was – going to step in and kind of become that guy. Now I'm looking at it as more of a Tampa situation, how they have O.J. Howard and Cameron Brait. Brait got paid that year. I think Smith has a higher ceiling, but Rudolph is the established guy, and I don't know. It's not looking good for Smith owners.
Yeah, you know, I think there is an opportunity for both of them to get their targets. You mentioned Tampa Bay with Howard and Brate. You can look at the Eagles with Goddard and Ertz, or even Chicago with Burden and Shaheen. I think there's going to be enough targets to go around, but them signing Rudolph to an extension right after, you know, minicamp doesn't quite bode well, in my opinion, for Irv Smith. I think if he showed out a little bit more, they wouldn't have made this move and guaranteed any money to Rudolph.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like a little bit of an indictment on the rookie. All right, so some news out of New York, New Jersey, rather. Your Jets have filled their vacant GM role and have hired Joe Douglas, the former vice president of player personnel for the Philadelphia Eagles. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah. I'm feeling really, really good about this. First of all, the dude is jacked. Like, I've never seen a GM who's as big as this guy. So hopefully he's not on steroids. But after Gase's initial press conference, I think everybody in New York is on some sort of drug. but I love the move. Seriously, I'm excited to see what he can do for Darnold after seeing how he worked around Carson Wentz and built a solid team. And of course, Douglas worked for the Ravens prior to the Eagles for 15 years working under Ozzie Newsome. If he can replicate 75% of what Ozzie was able to do, and I mean, hell, as a Jets fan, if he can do 50% of what Ozzie was able to do, I'll be ecstatic considering our, you know, our past history of GM flops.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. Ozzie Newsome is, he's the gold standard of GMs, I think, or at least up there. So to learn from a guy like that for so long, and then to come from an organization like the Philadelphia Eagles, who have had one of the strongest rosters in the NFL for the past, you know, 3 to 4 years. Yeah, I think this guy is coming from a good place. And yeah, it looks like if the Jets are having any injuries, this guy could probably step in and be like a linebacker. So all around good hire for the Jets.
Awesome. I like hearing that from somebody besides my own mouth. But that was our NFL news for today, and I am so excited to go into our next segment. Now, we have a segment that we like to call Bix Picks, where Ryan lets us know who are going to be the winners and losers in the upcoming week. So let me introduce you to its cousin, Ryan's Radar. Ryan loves college football. So can you give us a little bit of an overview of what you are doing with your segment?
All right. So this segment is, it kind of goes hand in hand with this project that I'm working on right now. It's the word I'm looking for, like a digital magazine. And part of it is that I'm scouting college players. I'm putting together top 15s of all fantasy relevant positions. Also going to be included in this project. I'm doing redraft rankings. There's going to be articles in there. I'm doing win-loss predictions for all 32 teams and much more. It's going to be – so keep an eye out for that. That's going to be like a later summer kind of thing, aiming for like this middle of preseason, like right around the start of the college season.
I'll buy it. How much is it?
It's free, actually.
Oh, that's my price.
Perfect. It'll be free for download from the website. We'll be tweeting links for it. But this segment here is I'm just going to go through one player for each position, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, and just, you know, give you a name of a college player to keep an eye on or to even target in your Devy leagues.
Awesome. So kick us off with the QB.
All right. I'm gonna kick it off with KJ Costello, the quarterback for Stanford. He's a senior this year. He has all the tools to be a first-round quarterback. He's 6'5", 215. I'd imagine he'll put on some weight to play in the NFL. His frame can handle it. He throws a good ball. He can gun it in. He throws with good touch when it's needed. He's accurate. He had a lot of drops last year. His receivers dropped a lot of balls, and I think his 65.1 completion percentage would have actually been better had he not had all those drops. He's going into his third year as a QB starter at a school known for producing NFL-level talent. It's Stanford. What you're getting a highly intelligent, athletic player with all of the, like, tools you want in a quarterback. He's led a winning team 2 years in a row, coming from a pro style offense. He takes a lot of snaps from under center. And I'll level with you here. Costello's one of those names that's kind of, I feel like it's kind of on the fringe of being a top end prospect there are some times where I see him on film and it's like, that's a first round player. And then there are other times where I'm like, that's a backup move. So I think that he tends to make bad decisions under pressure, especially. Good coaching can help fix that. He's lost a lot of talent on the offense, Stanford in general. Bryce Love isn't there anymore. Neither is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or Caden Smith. They're all NFL players now. And Costello is now the guy on that entire Stanford team. So if he can step into this role and – you know, not just thrive in it, but improve, get even better, that will signal to me that, yes, he is a surefire first-round pick. So, yeah, keep KJ Costello's name in the back of your head. Do not be surprised to see it come up a lot during the offseason.
So, is he coming out next year?
Yes, unless he tears his ACL week one and redshirts, of course.
Okay, so where would you have him ranked? Like, who else is coming out next year? Tua, Jake Fromm?
Tua, Tagovailoa, Jake Fromm, Justin Herbert, those guys are all draft eligible. I want to say Jordan Love from Utah State. That's another name to keep an eye on. Smaller program, but he's a very, very good quarterback.
And so you think all of these guys are going to go in the first round?
Tua, Fromm, I think Fromm can be a first-round pick, and Herbert for sure. And I think Costello could put his name in that conversation.
Okay. So where do you rank him among those guys?
He's sitting at my quarterback 5 right now.
Okay.
So I still have some work to do on these rankings, but as of today, June 11th, he is my quarterback 5 in college.
Okay. So who do you have at running back for me to watch?
All right. This is a name that I feel like a lot of people are familiar with, but DeAndre Swift. He's from Georgia. He's a junior. This is a special player. I feel like a lot of the fantasy community is higher on Travis Etienne and Jonathan Taylor. You're wrong. DeAndre Swift is a future All-Pro. He is a top 5 talent in next year's draft class, in my eyes. He's just a complete package. He's so fast. He makes the first man miss. Like, he never goes down on first contact. He runs with power. He's not afraid of contact. He will lower his shoulder and just plow into a guy to send a message. He's a very good receiver too. This is a guy that, he can get you 75 catches in the NFL or more. He has that extra gear, that rare extra gear where he just, he'll break a long run and you'll see the safeties and the corners trying to pursue, and he's just leaving those guys. And he's doing this against SEC schools. And plus he's good in pass protection. He is a modern day NFL 3-down workhorse running back with unlimited potential.
DeAndre Swift is awesome. Who's a sleeper I should keep an eye on?
All right. I have a couple. Keep an eye on Keyshawn Vaughn. He's the running back for Vanderbilt.
Okay.
And then keep an eye on Michael Warren II. He's a guy who plays for the Cincinnati Bearcats. He's like a three-star recruit. Wasn't the highest recruited guy, but when I watch his film, he's like 5'11", round 220, big, stocky guy. He runs with some authority. He's fast. He's tough between the tackles. That's a name to keep an eye on. He rushed for over 1,300 yards last year for an 11-2 Cincinnati team. And I see him getting better this year as a junior.
Awesome. What was his name again?
Michael Warren II.
Michael Warren II. I'll absolutely keep an eye out for him. I'm in a Devy league where, you know, like Etienne, Swift, Taylor, Akers, Benjamin, those guys are all gone. So mm-hmm. I need to look for somebody a little bit deeper. So I'm going to keep an eye out on Warren. So for your wide receiver, yes. Who should I be watching?
I'm going with Amon-Ra St. Brown here. I feel like I feel with a lot of these things, but I'm seeing a lot about Rondale Moore in the fantasy community. Whenever Debbie gets brought up, it's Rondale Moore for this the sophomore class of receivers. Newsflash, the sophomore class of receivers is very strong. It's not just Rondale Moore. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown has the potential to be the best of that class. That includes not just Moore, but Justin Ross from Clemson, Jalen Waddle from Alabama. He was St. Brown was the 11th overall ranked prospect in the 2018 recruiting class. He was the number two receiver in the nation as a true freshman while catching passes from another true freshman quarterback in JT Daniels, who I also believe has first round potential. He caught 60 passes for 750 yards. That's not too bad for a freshman playing with a true freshman quarterback. He was dominant against Texas. He had 9 receptions for 167 yards and then 10 receptions for 94 yards against a Notre Dame team that we all know went to the playoffs. So, I mean, this is at 19 years old, he's putting up like big boy numbers against, you know, those big time schools like that. For being only 19, he runs great routes. He has great hands. I can't find a weakness in the guy's game. I just can't. His athleticism just stands out on film. He's a flashy athlete too. Like he's like an OBJ for the next generation.
Okay. So I read an article about this family. Mm-hmm. There's 3 kids. They're all multilingual. They're all great students. They're all great athletes. But, you know, they're kind of like the Ball family of the NFL now, right? They have that over-domineering dad who is just pushing them to all be professional athletes. Do you think that's going to be an issue?
Honestly, no, not really. I mean, I kind of look at Kyler Murray in the same light, like with his dad. He ended up going number one overall. I don't think it's that much of a distraction.
Okay.
To be honest, I think talent kind of it speaks for itself. His film looks great. You know, like I'm gonna talk about this. I saw a high school highlight of St. Brown where he reels in this one-handed catch and he has the presence of mind to get both his feet in bounds. Now, in college and high school football, you only need to have 1 foot in bounds. So it's only in the NFL where you're concerned about getting both feet in. And St. Brown already does that. He did that in high school. Like, he has this NFL trait as a high school player. And it's just rare to find a guy like this. He's so refined at such a young age. I'm not worried about like the family circus that might come along with it. The talent just speaks for itself.
All right. Well, we shall see. What about tight end?
All right. I'm going to go with Jared Pinkney here for Vanderbilt. I almost went with Colby Parkinson from Stanford, but I already covered a Stanford player, and I wanted to mix it up a little bit. Jerod Pinckney, all right, so the 2020 class of tight ends is comparatively weak to the last couple of years, at least from what I'm seeing right now. You know, who knows? Maybe there will be some guys that break out big. I'm just not seeing it yet. But I think Pinckney might actually be the best, if not the best, the most pro-ready tight end in this upcoming class. He's a redshirt senior. He went back to Vanderbilt to, you know, improve his draft stock. He was projected to be a second to fourth round pick had he entered last year's draft. I think that he can improve it. Kyle Shermer's not the quarterback there anymore, so we'll see how that situation plays out. But when you have a tight end like that for a younger quarterback, yeah, as a safety blanket, I can see him being a very, very valuable player for that team. He's big. He's 6'5", 255. He was second-team All-SEC in 2018, 50 receptions for 774 yards and 7 touchdowns. I mean, college tight ends don't usually put up numbers like that. And while the film on Pinckney is scarce, what little bit I have been able to see has looked good. He's not the fastest guy in the field, but he's fast enough. He finds those like soft spots in the defense. He has really good hands. Plus, he's a load to bring down after the catch. Like, he doesn't want to go down. I watched like the one of the games I reviewed was the Vanderbilt Notre Dame game, which Vandy really gave the Irish a run for their money in that game. And like on this touchdown grab Pinckney had, he caught it and he just dragged. Like, he plowed over one guy and dragged a couple more into the end zone. Like, he was not going to be denied that touchdown. And that's something I look for in a player, is just that extra that you get. Like, that, yeah, you know what? I want this touchdown. I'm going to go get it. Like, that's, you know, that's a hungry player. That's somebody I want on my team. Pinckney is a very good – I think he'll be one of the top two tight end options next year in rookie drafts.
Very good. Well, there you have it. Ryan, with some players for us to keep an eye on. So Ryan and I are going to be discussing some players that are probably bound to die on your roster and what you can possibly do with them. So this week on Old Yellers.
You mean you really want that thieving Old Yeller dog?
I sure do.
Well, then maybe we can do some swapping.
Larry Fitzgerald. Now, Larry is currently being ranked as a low-end wide receiver 3 in most redraft rankings. But in Dynasty, his average rank is about 67. I would like to think that this is his last year, but I've been hearing that for the past 3 seasons. I'm not sure what to do with him. I was able to get rid of one share 3 years ago, like I said, when I thought he was over. But I still have him on a couple rosters. Now, I looked at the Dynasty Trade Calculator and the new DLF Dynasty Trade Analyzer, mm-hmm. and they both value Fitz around the same as a 2020 third round pick. So my question to you, Ryan, all right? So if you have Larry Fitzgerald on your roster, here are the rookies that were drafted towards the end of the third round, right? Which okay. is about what where they value him. Would you trade Larry Fitzgerald for Kelvin Harmon?
No.
Okay. I don't think I would either.
I wouldn't. Larry Fitzgerald, I don't care how old he is. He's Larry Fitzgerald. The guy's a legend. He still performs at a high level. He has like wide receiver 2 upside with, you know, the potential to go off in some games. To put up those wide receiver 1 numbers, like, he's still capable of that.
Okay. Well, what about
I'm not trading him for
Kelvin Harmon? What about Josh Oliver?
No, I still wouldn't. As much as I like Josh Oliver, he's kind of he's a little bit of a project at tight end. I think he'll end up being pretty solid, But I don't know.
All right. So the last rookie to ask you, would you trade Larry Fitzgerald for Bruce Anderson?
No. Undrafted. Okay. I'm not sleeping on the guy. The undrafted out of North Dakota State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he plays for the Buccaneers.
Yep.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald, I don't know. It's kind of hard to let a guy like that go. It might just be because he's one of my favorite receivers of all time. It might just be like more of an emotional thing. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not really feeling any of those players in exchange for one of Fitzgerald's stature, I guess.
Okay, so looking at some veteran players who are projected to be right around the same level of production. Wide receivers only. Kenny Stills. Would you trade Larry for Kenny?
No, and the reason for that is because Larry Fitzgerald's ceiling is still higher than Kenny Stills, and I mean, honestly, I think Kenny Stills is on his way out.
Okay. What about Mohamed Sanu?
I'd still have to keep Fitzgerald here. Like, I just want to make clear that I'm kind of thinking from a win now perspective.
No, that absolutely.
So, I mean, if I'm in a rebuild, I probably still wouldn't, to be honest. Just because I don't really see these as players that would assist me much in a rebuild.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the last one, who's right around there, a little bit younger, but just coming off a great year, DeSean Jackson. Would you trade Larry Fitzgerald right now for DeSean Jackson straight up?
That's an interesting one. Because, I could actually see them both kind of being able to have similar type numbers they put up. Something else is both of those receiving cores are pretty what's the word I'm looking for? Crowded.
Okay.
In Arizona, you have Fitzgerald, who I believe is going to be Kyler Murray's safety blanket this year, which could just, he could see, he could have a 1,000-yard season again this year as Kyler's safety blanket. But then also in Arizona, you have Hakeem Butler and Andy Isabella. And then David Johnson's a great receiver in his own right. And then you go to Philly and you have
Whoa, you forgot Christian Kirk.
And how did I do that? Yeah, Christian Kirk, wow. The guy lining up across from Fitzgerald.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you have five just solid. I mean, so like, and then you do the same thing in Philly and you have – Alshon Jeffrey and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Nelson Agholor and Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert and then, DeSean Jackson. And I don't know, I could see Jackson getting more lost in the Philly shuffle than Fitzgerald getting lost in the Arizona kind of receiving core. So That would be a little bit more tempting for me, but I'd still probably lean Fitzgerald over Jackson.
All right, so we're gonna have to Old Yeller him then, right? He's on the team until he's done.
That's Old Yeller. If you're getting rid of Larry Fitzgerald, you better be getting better value than that.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same spot. I like Kelvin Harmon. I think he might turn into something. Same with Josh Oliver, but God, I'm having a hard time letting Larry Fitzgerald go. So what about you? You said you were going to come up with one of these for me.
Actually, JJ, yes, I did. This is one of my favorite players of all time. So I just want to get whenever I get an opportunity to talk about a guy like that, you know, why not? Frank Gore. He's been around forever. He's going into his 15th season. This is how old Frank Gore is, all right? His son, Frank Jr., just recently committed to Florida Atlantic. So
that's old.
Frank Gore still, you know, just he had 846 combined yards last year and missed the last two games with an injury. You know, he's still getting it done in the NFL at 36 years old. It's amazing. It's just absolutely incredible. There hasn't been anyone like him, and probably will never be again. So he's found himself in Buffalo. It's a little bit of a crowded backfield. Arguably a better offensive line than he had in Miami last year. And he's actually being valued by the Dynasty Trade Calculator for a late fourth round value.
Okay, late fourth round. All right.
So, like, in the late fourth round, we're looking at players like, would you trade Frank Gore for Gary Jennings, the rookie receiver out of West Virginia?
Yeah, in Seattle right now? Yeah, absolutely.
You would?
Okay. I would take Gary Jennings, yeah.
All right. How about Alexander Mattison, the running back out of Boise State?
Alexander Mattison. Absolutely. I love Alexander Mattison.
Okay. So, all right, yeah, and it's looking like Frank Gore, and it might just be the nature of the running back position. It's looking like it's a little bit easier to let him go than Larry Fitzgerald. How about an undrafted rookie, James Williams out of Washington State?
Man, I don't want to do Frank like this, but bye, Frank. I'll be honest with you. In a redraft league, I'm not drafting Frank Gore. Okay. So if I have him on my roster, you know, like I'm coming up on cuts for some of my teams where I have to trim down, he would definitely be among my cuts.
No kidding.
Let me hold on. So Frank Gore.
How about in a best ball league? What would you do with Frank Gore? Because he's capable of popping off for, you know, 100 yards at any time. Like,
you know, so I built this little roster tool. I think I showed it to you. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I went through and I took all the different rankings from all the different sites. And I put them in and I sort of bubbled them up onto my rosters to see what the average ranking is.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Gore is currently ranked as the 96th running back in Dynasty. 96.
Doesn't surprise me.
You know, unless you're a rookie, if you're over 60, I'm not really looking at you unless in like super deep leagues or like 16 team leagues. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick him up in a best ball.
Wow. All right.
I'd rather take a younger guy like Elijah Holyfield, and see where he pans out. I'm trying to think of some of those bottom guys. Who else is lower in the Kareth White? Higdon is another name.
Okay. How about Divine Ozigbo?
Oh, absolutely. I would take Divine Ozigbo.
Okay.
Yeah, all of those guys I would take over him.
All right. How about some guys that have been around for a couple of years then? Kenneth Dixon. Would you rather have Kenneth Dixon or Frank Gore?
Oh, my word. This is like an F, marry, kill, but it's just kill, kill, kill. all right. So Frank Gore or Kenneth Dixon? I'm taking Dixon.
Ouch. I got to go Gore every time there. How about Doug Martin?
Oh, the muscle hamster. Just for the name alone, I'm going, oh, man. Oh, God. If I had to choose between those two, and although I think Doug Martin has a chance to put up more points than Frank Gore, just because I've been so mean to Frank and I love him so much for what he's done, I would take Frank.
All right. So we got one for Gore finally. It's
and that's a, right. That's and, just an homage. That's me just that's paying just homage to Frank Gore. Did you have any other guys you want to insult Frank Gore with by offering?
I actually have one more, but I think I already know the answer is going to be. Kalen Ballage, he was Frank Gore's backups backup in Miami last year.
Yeah, I would take the backup backups. I'm not a big fan of Drake. I think that Ballage actually might become the running back one there.
Ooh, okay, that's a hot take.
Yeah, I think he's a better receiving back than Drake. So I think you're going to see him flourish under the new coaching staff.
Okay. All right.
I came up with that that segment and it kind of hurt me. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Frank Gore, if you're listening out there, we love you.
Much love. Been a fan since you came out of Miami. But yeah, I don't know, brother. I don't know. It's time to walk away into the sunset. Although I think that's the wrong movie. I think Old Yeller just went behind the woodshed. So I love you, Frank.
It is a new era in the NFL indeed.
All right. Well, you know what? I've had just about enough of this podcast. I'm feeling a little sad right now. So remember that you can listen to us on Podbean, our YouTube channel, Spotify, or on our website, RideOrDynasty.com, where you can follow us on Twitter at RideOrDynasty. So please go to iTunes, subscribe, download our episodes, give us a review on iTunes, and until next time, boat drinks.
Catch you on the flip side.